the shadows that hide inside you.
More of Lake Effect now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Milwaukee singer-songwriter Hayward Williams finished writing and recording his new album last October. A lot has happened, both in the world and in the life of Hayward Williams in the last 13 months. But as we'll hear, that doesn't make the songs on Pretenders any less relevant.
The album roars to life on Saturday night with a CD release show at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. Ahead of the show, Hayward Williams came by and offered some unplugged versions of some of the songs on the new album, including this one called In the Fire.
And I'm not alone. And I'm not alone. And I'm not alone. And oh. And oh. And oh. And I'm not alone now. In the fire, we fought together for the glory of sons and daughters.
Hayward Williams, in the fire, in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thanks a lot.
It was my pleasure.
Great to see you again.
It's good to be back.
What's that song about?
It's kind of extremely autobiographical of the arc of my career, I guess. It kind of starts, I saw Gillian Welsh and David Rawlings play at the Barrymore back in like 2003 or four.
And that's in Madison.
That's in Madison, right. And it was so good. And I had been writing and recording at that time, but then I saw them play and I was like, oh, you need to be trying harder and reaching further and trying to like actually say something. And so once I figured that out, I, you know, started touring more and playing more, and the song kind of dips in a little about that, and everything comes together, and then everything falls apart, and then you kind of at least figure yourself out, if not what you're doing. So that's kind of what the song's about.
And the idea of the fire,
yeah,
is it could be anything.
Well, yeah. Well, it's, I guess it's just I got into the deep end of things a lot quicker than I thought I would, and so it's kind of. It's kind of a good way to figure out what you're made of and what you need to do, and it was exciting, but it also showed me I had a lot to work on, and so it's transformative for sure.
We are talking in early November, and the new album is just about to come out.
Yeah,
Pretenders.
Right, it comes out on November 25th.
And the tracks you recorded in October, but October of last year.
Yeah. That's the way this beast works, yeah.
And I was thinking about, I mean, that the trick for a songwriter, the world is a different place in a lot of ways in the year between the time you finish recording something and the time it might come out.
Yeah. It's, you know, most of my songwriting, when it's not utterly autobiographical, is reactionary to what's going on. And so, you know, you write songs about what's happening in the world, and then all of a sudden you record them, and then are they still going to be relevant in a year and a half? And, you know, I have some more political kind of tunes than I normally have, and I wrote them, you know.
I think before, a lot of people do.
Before the election, and then I was like, are these still going to be relevant? And sadly, in a lot of ways, they still are, and so it's... It's not something to be excited about, but here we are.
But right, it raises the question whether the shelf life of political songs is shorter than it once was, or is that something that's, you know, you never have to worry about the shelf life of a political song?
I don't know. It still has to be a good song, I guess. You know, so if it's a good song, then whether or not it's political will, I guess, is not entirely important right away.
Was there a spark that set into motion the creation of this album?
Yeah, I had a daughter 2 years ago, and I had time on my hands in the sense that I was kind of always around taking care of her, and I didn't want my career, as it were, to kind of just kind of slowly dissipate away from me. So I just kept on writing, and the difference between a lot of these songs and previous songs is I would play so many shows and kind of vet them in front of audiences and kind of change them depending on how they work or how they didn't work. And whereas the majority of these songs are fresh in the sense that they were never put through that ringer or that process, and so it's really kind of a leap of faith in a lot of ways to see if if I can trust my own editor. Yeah.
Were you playing for your daughter anyway?
Yeah, she's heard this record way too many times. I think she's even more over it than I am in a lot of ways.
At the ripe old age of two.
Yeah, right. No, she knows the lyrics to a lot of songs, and so I think in any case, if she gets into them, then there has to be something deep within them that rings. So hopefully, maybe she's the canary for me to use from now on.
Well, I want to ask you more about it, but I feel like at this point we should hear more from it. I feel like you're in a very optimistic key.
It seems that way, doesn't it? this is a song off the record called Because of You. And, no more explanation. Lost in Atlanta. The sea never breathes through in a day. And tied up in London, afraid I'll never make it back to Spain. You say that it's over and that we never made it to the gate. It's too late, it's too late. Home for the long run. I need you like I want another drag. Watching the sideshow. Now they're all line waving a flag. You say that we're dying, losing ourselves in the fight. Not tonight, not tonight. Crying, this whole world is lost on you. And no one can tell you what to do. Come up beside me and take you down the end of Mercy Street. And all of them running, and there's a lot of strange people to meet. You say that we're nothing, and that nothing's coming down the line. I feel fine, I feel fine. Crying, this whole world is lost on you. No one can tell you what to do. I don't understand anything because of you.
or because you, or because you, or because you.
Hayward Williams, Because of You, in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And maybe my initial impression of the optimism of that song was tempered.
I pride myself on having optimistic sounding songs with really sad lyrics.
Well, and there's that little guitar lick in there that my music theory is. is remedial, but it sounds like you go into a minor key for just a brief moment in that every verse.
Yeah.
Which I think tempers the sound of it.
It's a great way to. It's always good to throw a curveball in there.
you are in here solo with your guitar, but obviously the new album has a much larger cast of characters.
Yeah, it's I've been doing this long enough to have bumped into some really incredible musicians, many of whom are in Wisconsin. A great friend of mine named Corey Matthew Hart from Madison played guitar and sang, and he's an amazing vocalist. And also had a friend from Chicago, Charlie Koltok, playing drums, who I've used on a couple of records, and he's amazing. And then I had a friend of mine from Providence, Rhode Island, fly out Jeremy Moses Curtis to play bass, and he's a bad, bad man. and a friend of his out in Boston named Brooks Milgate played B3 Hammond, and so it's...
He did that, I remember seeing that, did he do that remotely?
He did it remote, we sent him the tracks, and he's one of those people that just knows what to do, and so... I was fully prepared to not have any notes for him, and I'm glad that I did not prepare, because it was fantastic. I told him to basically, do what the guy in Memphis and Al Green's band would do, and I think he delivered in spades. So.
You know, we're having this conversation, and I'm thinking back to three interviews I've had in recent months with female singer-songwriters in which the idea of motherhood has come up. And it was a surprise to me. I almost didn't notice that it was happening in all of them, and they all had it was in a different place for each of them. Obviously, fatherhood did not come up with them because they were women.
True.
But I mean, let me ask you, because in the meantime, since the album was recorded, you've actually increased the number of children at home by 100%.
100%.
Is having a small child at home a well? I would wonder if it's is it inhibiting from a creative perspective, or does it give you more creativity and yet less energy with which to create?
It gives all those things and takes away from all of those things at the same time. It's you kind of just have to find the moments where things are working and hopefully be productive. Sometimes the lack of sleep is a great way to open doors in your mind that are normally closed. But then also you become more productive with the free time that you do have available to you. But on just a spiritual level, it just kind of makes working and being creative easier, in the sense that it's, all the cliches, like little miracles every day. It's incredible.
What about the cliche about the seeing the world through fresh eyes?
Oh God, it sounds terrible, but I feel like with the first kid, that's the way it goes, and then the second kid, you're already taking less pictures of them and stuff. It's terrible, but it's
you're photoshopping the younger one onto the older pictures, yeah. Right?
They're different people and different, and you're different, and the experiences are always different, and so there's no way to kind of put your finger on any of it. It's all amazing. and it's all exhausting, you know. And so there's no way that it can't inform how you live your day to day or and how you get your work done. But I would not change it one single moment.
Does it change the dynamic for your ability to go out and tour?
Absolutely. And in a lot of ways, that's great because I did my fair share of it for a long time, and I was kind of really looking for an ironclad excuse not to go out as much, and now I have it. And I've never been much of a guy to hang out after shows and party and chew the fat, and so being able to say, well, I have to go home, regardless of whether or not that's true, people, you know, usually give me plenty of leeway on that.
It's a beautiful built-in excuse.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Got to get the babysitter home.
Yeah, yeah. It works.
It's not, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, a year is not all that long between the time that a record starts to come together and the time that the actual physical thing, if there are physical things anymore, comes out. But at the same time, especially given what you were saying before about not having test marketed a lot
right.
of the music on this, do you look at the release of this with more apprehension than previous work that you've done? Maybe
yeah.
apprehension's
no,
the wrong
no,
word.
No, it's no apprehension is a good word. I think I did initially. Kind of after the recording, you kind of have this afterglow where you're really excited about it, and then you know a month or two settles in, and then you start reanalyzing all the songs and kind of taking another look at it, and it's easy to get really critical and doubtful in yourself and what you've done, but I think just kind of the new headspace I'm in with being a dad and being driven in a different way than I used to be, I've allowed myself to not worry about that as much. And I think it's only for the best because I spent so much time worrying about all that stuff. And not to say that what I produced in that time wasn't with merit, but I think now I'm going to places that I wouldn't necessarily go to, and I'm excited about that. And I think I'm still within the realm of what I've created as an artist, but I definitely have touched on new things that I probably wouldn't have done before.
At the very least, you can start playing gigs at playgrounds.
Oh, that's, you know, if that's what it comes to, I think I'll be all right with that.
I think we're all right with whatever you want to play for us. But before
right.
then, Hayward Williams, congratulations both on the new album and the new edition. And thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me again.
Hayward Williams' new album is called Pretenders. He'll play a CD release show this Saturday evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. Our in-studio session was engineered by the ever-wonderful Jason Reavy.
Lonely night, I was looking for you. I was looking for you. All the running, all the destiny. Took my hope and took the breath from me. I was looking for